Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Welcome home. You are home, Helen R. Empowerment, Ministry of Empowerment. Today's lesson is teaching of Jesus about prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer, both in words and example. And one of his foremost teaching was that of the Lord's Prayer. We will be looking at that as well on today, too. Also, we will be taking a look at the scripture setting. Let's look at the scripture verse for today, Luke 18 and 1. And he spake the parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. The scripture setting that we'll be looking at our lesson for today is found over in Matthew 6, verses number 7 through 15. And it reads on this line, but when ye pray, use not vain reputation as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's take a look at that. And let's take a look at the model that Jesus has left for us. The greatest teacher of all time placed much emphasis on prayer. Jesus not only taught individuals how to pray, but he also practiced it himself. There is scriptural evidence that he prayed early in the morning, as well as late at night, and sometimes all night long. As you can see in many churches, in some churches you would have all-night prayer, shut-ins. Sometimes you will find noonday prayer, or you'll find a early morning prayer prior to the Sunday morning service prayer. And so prayer is vital for the children of God. He prayed, even again, Jesus, he prayed before he ate, before he made decisions, before he performed miracles. He prayed privately as well as publicly. Jesus lived according to the admonition of the scripture, which states, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And you'll find that over in Proverbs 3 and 6. Jesus' immortal words was that men ought to always pray and not faint. And we'll find that over in Luke 18 and 1. These were not just merely words that were spoken from the lips of Jesus, but this was a mere lifestyle. And so it is with us as children of God. Prayer must be a lifestyle for us, just as though we even get up and make choices of when we groom ourselves in the morning and prepare ourselves for the day. And that's the way prayer must be cultivated in our lives as a lifestyle, something that we are engaged in throughout the day. Jesus did it before he ate, before he made a decision, before he performed a miracle. And so it is. He left that example for us as children of God, that we must emanate that same type of model for our lives. The disciples of Christ, they perceived that he was a man of prayer, and they asked him to teach them. They came along and said, teach us how to pray, because they recognized that that was a part of Jesus' lifestyle. And so they came and said, teach us how to pray. And that's where we find it here in our scripture text that we laid for our lesson on today, of Matthew 6, verse number 7 through verse number 15. And so here, the importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized, for God desires that his people to pray. And there are many things that God will do only when someone has prayed for him to act. Now, that's key. Because many of you here in Radio Land today is saying that, you know, I believe God, and I'm wanting God to do these things. But you must step back and begin to ask yourself the question for today. And that question would be, did you pray? The question would be, did you go back to God and ask of God? Did you acknowledge God before you act? Or did you just move forward prior to asking of God and acknowledging him according to Proverbs 3 and 6? We must recognize that these provisions that God have ordained for our lives are there that we can see his hand move on our life or in our life. And so when we begin to line our life up with those provisions and the principles that God has laid out, then we will begin to see a mighty move of God in our life. Now let's look at something else here, the simplicity of prayer. Many people wonder, you know, how to pray. I want to know how to pray. How can I engage in prayer? Let's look at the simplicity of prayer on this morning. Prayer is a simple activity, yet a most powerful one. To pray is to talk to God and to call on him, to cry out to him, to confess to him, to bring your requests unto him, to thank him for all he has done. Prayer is the spirit of man or woman communicating with the spirit of God. It is the mind of man seeking oneness with the mind of God. And I tell you, Radio Land, that this is just so profound. When we begin to seek the mind of God and being one with God, we're going to see, and you're going to see some miraculous thing happen in your life. A person may pray silently, softly, loudly. They may weep or rejoice. A person can kneel down. They can stand. They can sit. They can lie down. They can walk. They can run, or while you're driving in your car. And things, you can pray. The circumstances and the reason for praying may determine how one will pray, but the prayer is God's. It's the key. Prayer is God's idea. Now, that's the key right there, and I need you to grab that revelation. It is God's idea. It's the key, okay, for God wants us to pray. He has established definite principles that make prayer effective. Now, that's another key. One is ignorant of these principles. He may pray without results and conclude that God does not answer prayer. Perhaps this is the reason why some people have never had fourfold prayer life. And that's one of the things that you want to build up. It's just like a person who's lifting weights. And things that if they want to begin to get their body tuned, they begin to lift weights and do various types of exercise, and so that they can be strong in those particular areas. And so it is in our prayer life, in order for us to have a powerful and a forceful prayer life to see results, we must line our lives up with the principles of God. This is God's will for our life. Number one, let's look at that. Prayer, it really is easy. It's asking God in Jesus' name. It's believing God. It is importune if it's necessary. It's waiting on God, and it's receiving. So these three, these elements are all a part of prayer. Asking in Jesus' name, I'll repeat them. Believe God. Importune if it's necessary. And waiting on God to bring it to pass, and then receiving it. These things are key in seeing the hand and the mighty move of God. Jesus taught men how to pray and how to receive answers to the prayer. We are to ask God. We are to believe that he will answer. We must wait on him and receive it. Moreover, Jesus taught his disciples that they should pray in his name. And if you go over and look at it and examine it in the scripture, John 14, verses 13 through 14. Therein lies the authority for us to ask thee. So you need to have that authority. Okay, it said the scriptural qualification for those who pray, God will answer. The Apostle Peter wrote, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. You'll find that over in 1 Peter 3 and 12. John also qualified the requirements of prayer in his first epistle and said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3 and 22. And then again, the scriptures state, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. You'll find that in John, 1 John 5, verses number 14 and 15. Every believer must spend time in prayer, for a victorious living requires that we pray. Prayer should precede every important decision. We must seek God's will before we carry it out, and even while we're executing or carrying out God's sovereign will for our lives, we must invite God in and ask God to lead and guide and direct, because you want God's divine will to be done in your life. Every aspect of God's work in the church depends on prayer, and that is so key. As you bathe it in prayer and move forward, still in the mindset of seeking that oneness with God as you're moving forward doing the will of God, that is key to your success in the things of God, because you're inviting God. You're letting God know that you're not doing it out of your own strength, out of your own mind or ideas, but you asking God to lead and guide you, even to give you the strength, the wisdom, how to even execute the vision that he's given unto you, even that dream that he's given unto you. You asking God, Lord, how do you want me to do that? Lord, come and show me, Lord. I invite you in. And as you begin to invite God in and begin to ask God for his sovereign will to be done, God will do it for you. God will open that door. He will make that way. But we as children of God, we got to invite him in and things. He's waiting there for us to do it and things. We just must invite him in and things. And so please recognize we as children of God, God's getting ready to do some miraculous thing in your life. And God is wanting to do that. Let's look at being aware of vain repetition, because you don't want to be engaged in vain repetition. God is not really moved by vain repetition. Let's look at Matthew 6 and 7. He said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Using these words and sentence over and over in prayer is just a vain repetition. A person may repeat a word or phrase fervently for a long time, and he feel that they have prayed. But Jesus said to the heathen, they did this, think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The number of time a person repeat a thing unto God is not the reason that he will answer. It's that faith is the reason that God answer your prayer. So you must recognize, child of God, that faith in God, in his ability to operate, is the key for God to answer that prayer. Amen. So let's look here at some more of the principle about the vain repetition. It says there is a distinction between vain repetition and importunity. It said God does not respond to a verbal marathon, but he does respond to persistent prayer. When this persistence is embodied or embodiment with faith. In essence, what we're saying is that when you are in gazed in faith, believing, God, I know that you're going to do it. God, I know you have power to do it. I'm waiting on you, Lord. You got all power. You did it for us last time. And Father, I know that you're going to do it again. As you engage God, that's not vain repetition. Right there is saying, God, I know that you're able. God, I know you have the power to do it. I'm putting my trust and my confidence in you, in your ability. Amen. So that is not vain repetition, but it's saying that, God, I'm asking you. And let's look at Luke 11:9, according to the Amplified Bible. It says, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given. Now, asking, and as you're going back to God and asking them again, it's not vain repetition, but it's just saying, God, I thank you. And I thank you for doing it. I thank you that you're going to bring it to pass. I thank you because you're a God of integrity. You're a God of your word. Your word is true, and it shall come to pass. Let's look. It said, it is proper to take the same request unto God every day until he answers. This is not vain repetition. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, he prayed 3 times. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he began to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And you'll find that over in Matthew 26, verse 36 and 44. His prayer was not vain reputation, but it was a prayer in opportunity. He needed God. He needed God to move. And sometimes when we find ourselves in a position that, and the intensity of that trial or that situation and the agony of that problem or that circumstance that you may find yourself in, that may become that time where that moaning or crying out unto God because you are in a situation that you need God to move now. And I felt you right there that, you know, you may be in that situation right now, but I want you to know that God is able to talk to him, turn to him. Faith believing is the key that he will do it. He said a person should be aware of the different repetition and vain repetition and thing, crying repeatedly in a desperate need and beseeching God to deliver them from an affliction. This is not vain repetition. We must recognize that. Luke 18:7 says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear bear long with them? God will answer your cry. That's not vain repetition. That when you are there crying out unto God and desperately in need of God and beseeching God, I just feel God just right there in that beseeching God. And I want to just to stay there for just a moment. If you need to beseech God, I want you to turn your face to God. And begin to just beseech God and say, oh, Lord, our God, I need you and I need you now. God knows. The Bible said he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And so sometimes you don't even know how to pray, but through your groaning and your moaning unto God, you are beseeching God. And those moans and those groans are going up to God. God said that he even bottles our tears. He said he knows the hair on our heads and even those back there in the kitchen, he knows those too. And things, every one of your hair on your head has been numbered, and God do recognize that. Amen. And so let's look here. God knows our needs. God knows our needs. Let's look at that area and things that God knows our needs. Also, I want to, before we even get in that, and just open up the airway if anyone would like to call in. And my number here is 646-378-1469. Again, 646-378-1469. And I welcome your comments on today. But let's look here. It said, God knows our needs. Be ye, but ye therefore like unto them For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. That's over in Matthew 6 and 8. We do recognize that God does. He knows everything, child of God. He knows your needs and things. But I believe that God, one of the most important things that God wants from us as children of God is to be able to be in communication with him and have a relationship with him, because he does know our needs and things. He knows everything. He knows our desires. He knows our downsitting. He knows our uprising. He knows our thoughts that are even are far off. He knows everything about us and things. And that's why David even wrote, "Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts that are far off." And he went on to say, "Thou art acquainted with all of my ways." Now, that's profound. God is acquainted with all of our ways, child of God. We can't hide a thing before God. And so it might as well that we just be honest before God, let God know. And one of the things that I love about God is that, you know, the true worshiper is going to worship God in spirit and in truth, and going to communicate to God. Lord, you can tell God, I don't feel it. You asking me to do it, but God, I don't feel it. I don't even want to do it. But God, if you will help me, if you will give me the strength to execute and do what you're asking me to do, I will do it. But right now, Father, I'm not feeling it, but I know it's your will for me to do it. That's when we begin to be honest with God and being true in the relationship with God, because we're being open to God. And God knows already that we may not like doing it. Maybe that's my garden or your garden of Gethsemane and things, and you asking God to give you strength to even to go through it or even to do it, because he recognizes you don't want to do it. There's nothing hid from God in his all-knowing power and ability. But if we be true to God, then God is able to come along and enable us and give us the strength that we need to be able to execute that will that God is calling us to do. So let's look at another scripture, because our time is swiftly passing, and I want to get this before we leave the air on today. It says here, also, a person's prayer does not reveal to God something that he does not already know, nor does it make God more aware of the need. A person might ask, if God knows what we need, why do we ask? Won't he give it to us anyway? Why do we need to ask? It's because in asking in prayer, God has chosen prayer to be the medium through which he will work in a person's life. Therefore, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given, Matthew 7 and 7. And so that's why, child of God, that it is important, even though God is all-knowing, it is God's will that we ask God. It is God's desire that we ask of him, because that is the medium, the vehicle, the plan that God had for his people to have God to act on our behalf. He said, everything we need is in God's hand. One of the psalmists have revealed, thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Psalm 145 and 16. But God does not back a truck up in our driveway either and unload everything all at once. So you got to recognize, child of God, he's not going to do that. And he's not really our genie and thing that we can just rub a bottle and he's going to act on our behalf. But he will do it according to his sovereign will for us. And he knows all things. One of the things before I leave off the air on today, I want to share one thing too. We must recognize you cannot be overthrown by a closed door. And don't let a closed door overthrow your relationship with God. God knows all things, and he wants you to have the best. You must recognize if God closed that door, he did it for a reason. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what up?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Perhaps we wasn't able to connect that call. Please try again. Again, let's look here. It states here that that God, he said that he was going to rain from heaven and fruitful season and fill our heart with food and gladness, Acts 14 and 7. It is God's will to bless his people and that we will be blessed children of God. And I want to just to encourage you on today is to continue to pray. We will pick this up on tomorrow at the same time because I want to continue this whole pattern of prayer so that you can be effective in that which God is doing in and through in your life because God wants to hear your voice in heaven. I don't know about you, but I bombard the kingdom of heaven. I go every day. I go three times a day. I go and invite God into everything I do. I said, God, I want you to be able to live and move and have my being in you, oh God. And when you begin to invite God into everything in your life, God will lead and guide and direct you. Remember, child of God, number one, that prayer is God's will for our life. It is God's idea. He has established it for the children of God. Number two, you don't want to use vain repetition. You want to be able to spin forth your word, God's word, back unto him by sharing him and speaking directly unto God on his in regards to his will. Then three, you must be able to take faith with you, believing God that God will do this on your behalf because he's willing and things to do it. But will you supply him with the faith that he needs for him to act on your behalf? Faith. He said, it is impossible to believe him, but he that come to him must diligently seek him. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so in my closing, I'm going to say, will you diligently seek God? Will you get that reward that God wants you to have because you are diligently seeking God? And then he said he's a rewarder. So there are some rewards for you, child of God, as you find yourself engaged in prayer, seeking the heart and mind of God, and that your mind and your spirit become one with God, so much so that when you be able to move forward in the things of God, God can lead and guide and direct you because you already are cultivating that relationship with God. I pray that this session has been a blessing to you and that it has real strengthen your prayer life and that you will go to the throne room of God and go boldly unto the throne room of God and watch God move on your behalf. It's been a pleasure being with you on today, and I pray that you meet me back again on tomorrow and that we can finish this particular lesson out. It's some good stuff, and you don't want to miss it because God have a blessing for you. Yes, you already blessed, but we are going higher in the Lord and deeper in the things of God. Amen. And he's going to bless you beyond measure. And the Bible said there's no weapon that's formed against you, child of God, is going to prosper. You may be in a battle right now, but guess what? It ain't going to prosper. God is going to bring you out with a testimony, and you'll go and leave your water pot and go and tell everybody I've seen a man that knows all about me, told me everything, and he's able to do it for me. He's able to do it for you, child of God. God has a miracle with your name on it. So thank you for allowing me to be here with you on today, and those that are tuned in today, I want you to know I appreciate you, and God has a blessing for you. Thank you for coming home with me today and spending time in my home on today here at Helen Orme Ministry of Empowerment. And if you like for me to be on your show or you like to be on my show, please call in and let me know or email me and we'll be able to see how we can arrange that, because these are the times in which God wants us as never before to pray and call on his name. There's power in your mouth. The scripture said, it's nigh thee, even in your mouth. Remember in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it. And you just a question away from your blessing. God bless you.